Well, it's a pleasure to be here in Kenway again this afternoon, and good to see you all. We do thank you for coming, especially if you're tennis fans. I think there might be an important match on today. I don't know when it starts or finishes, but you'll need to find out about it later. But we're here to think about more important things anyway, and so we're delighted that you've come to the gospel meeting this afternoon. I've got a little leaflet here. I don't know whether you've seen this or not, but it's called In or Out, Time to Decide. So I'll leave these on the chair here, and as you're going through for your tea later, God willing, you can lift up one of these. It's an interesting brochure, In or Out, A Time to Decide. And it's in keeping with our little message this afternoon. As you've heard, we're thinking about your choice, your future, and time to decide. Now, we're going to read two passages of Scripture, and one of them has already been referred to in our opening prayer. And I did enjoy the hymns, by the way, and I did enjoy your singing as well. So thank you very much for that. So we're reading in the book of Joshua, and it's the last chapter, so you can just feel free to listen, or if you have your own Bible, then you're welcome to follow it, of course. Joshua and chapter number 24. This is the New King James Version, so it might just be a little bit different to yours, but I'm sure you'll be able to follow the reading. Joshua chapter 24 and verse number 1. Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel, for their heads, for their judges, and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people. So we have Joshua's address to this great crowd of people, and we'll go down to verse number 14. Joshua continues, Now therefore fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So the people answered and said, Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. Down to verse 24. And the people said to Joshua, The Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we will obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and made for them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. Then Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and he took a large stone and set it up there under the oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said to all the people, Behold, this stone shall be a witness to us, for it has heard all the words of the Lord which he spoke to us. It shall therefore be a witness to you, lest you deny your God. So Joshua let the people depart, each to his own inheritance. Now we have one New Testament reading, and it's found in Luke's Gospel, and chapter number 19. Luke chapter 19. And verse 1 reads, Luke chapter 19, verse 1. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And then we have a story about a man called Zacchaeus. And then the Lord Jesus gives a lesson, and we're going down to verse number 12. Therefore he said, A certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. So he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 pounds, and said to them, Do business till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him, saying, "We will not have this man to reign over us." And down to verse number 27, the conclusion of the story, the nobleman says, "Bring here those enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them, and slay them before me." When he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. Now, we do trust that God will bless the reading of his word and our thoughts upon it this afternoon. Of course, I'm thinking about the 18th of September, and I'm thinking about a great decision that the people of Scotland have to make at that time. And as we think about this, and we've been reminded that our lives are filled with occasions when we have to make choices. Now, sometimes we make trivial choices. So when I got up this morning, I had to think about what tie I was going to put on, you know. And then when I opened the cupboard in the kitchen, I had to think about, now, what cereal am I going to have today? And if you ladies are like my wife, there's a big decision every day. What am I going to have for tea tonight? Are we going to have pork chops or lasagna or whatever it is? And so we have these decisions and we have choices to make, and we make them every day of our lives. And for the most part, they're really of no great consequence. They are trivial choices of momentary significance, really. But then we also have to make major lifelong choices, especially perhaps when we're younger. We have to make choices that might affect us for the rest of our lives. I was thinking during the week that it's 50 years ago this year that I plucked up the courage to ask a nice lady to go out with me, a nice young lady in Dunfermline, if she would go out with me. And 4 years later, we got married, and that choice has lasted 46 years, you see. So that was a life-changing and a lifetime choice as to a partner in marriage. So these are bigger issues. And at school, you have to choose subjects, and that could have a great impact on what direction. Although these days, there's more opportunities, perhaps, just to have a career change later in life, and many folks have done that. But major decisions about a life's partner or a career, or perhaps buying a house, which would be a big thing. So these are major choices. And then I thought too that there are perhaps choices that are even bigger than that. I'm just going to call them massive choices, you know, that will affect perhaps not just us, but future generations. And this decision that Scotland's going to make in a few weeks' time is a massive choice, because it's not only just going to affect this present generation, but generations to come. And so that is a huge choice to make. And as we think about that choice, you know, the arguments rage, and somebody says you'll be this much better off, and somebody says you'll be this much worse off or better off, and it's a different number. And it's such a complex thing. And I was in Waterstone's bookshop in Dunfermline this week, and they've got all these books piled up, you know, about the Scottish referendum and what it means and what the issues are. And I suppose it helps for people as to what decision to make. Well, I was interested just to have a wee look that this decision to unify Scotland and England that was made 300 and more years ago, there was actually a vote in the Scottish Parliament, and there were 106 that said, yes, let's combine with the English Parliament, and there were 69 that said no. So even then, there was a mixture of opinions. But of course, the lords and the nobles and the sirs and the parliamentarians made that decision to go for the united kingdom. Now, I don't have any political agenda here this afternoon, and I'm not here to persuade you in any direction at all. But I just want to give you, as an aside, a Bible perspective on these things that would perhaps help us just to think about it, you know. Here's a verse from the book of Daniel in the Old Testament of our Bibles. And this is what it says. The Most High God rules in the kingdom of men and appoints over it whomsoever he chooses. So that's reassuring, isn't it? To know that over all of these things, and people might have their arguments and their spins and their pluses and minuses and whatever, but ultimately, it's the Most High God who ruleth in the kingdoms of men. Now, in the New Testament, there was the Apostle Paul, and he was preaching in the city of Athens in the open air on a hill, the Areopagus. And this is what Paul said on this great subject. He said, God has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwelling. So again, there's that perspective that it's God ultimately who is over all of these things. History and geography are under the control and power of God. And then when the Apostle Paul writes a letter in the New Testament to Christians living in Rome, this is what he writes. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. And where will it all end? The last book in the Bible, the Apostle John, he says, there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever. So we don't need to be just too over anxious about what's going to happen in these coming weeks, because it's all in God's plan and purpose and in his sovereign control. But the Christian prays, doesn't he, about these things? That godly fear, that respect for God, that his word, that Christian liberty might be preserved or even restored in greater measure for us. And that is the big thing as we face this forthcoming referendum. Well, I've strayed a bit off my subject. Your choice, your future, time to decide. Trivial choices, major choices, a massive choice. But I want to suggest that there's even a greater one, and this is a choice for eternity. This doesn't just affect a generation or future generations, but this affects each one of us forever. It's a choice for eternity. The American evangelist Billy Graham used to have a program called Hour of Decision. And he was just appealing to his audience, usually I think on a radio broadcast, that a decision had to be made. And during the hour of that program, it was an hour of decision. And that's how the gospel would impact us this afternoon. Fundamentally, the message of the gospel is about a decision. A choice that we all need to make. The Bible teaches us that God made us. He created us amazingly with a free will. So we're not robots. There's no remote and there's no button. And there's no strings and there's no chips implanted. We each have a free will and the opportunity to make a choice. And we have to make a choice about God's word, about the message of the gospel, and about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I've said, it's not trivial, and it's not major, it's not massive. This is a decision for eternity. And it's so important. There's no age limits. You know, when it comes to political voting, there's usually a minimum age limit. There's no age limit when it comes to making this decision about the Lord Jesus. And so everybody here this afternoon, we're all included, and we all have to make a decision about the Lord Jesus Christ. And when it comes to a political vote, I can opt out. I can decide not to go. I can decide that I don't really know, or I'm not interested, or I can tear up a ballot paper or whatever. But this decision about the Lord Jesus, there's no opting out. Because we're all, even this afternoon, as we sit here in the presence of God, we're going to register a decision that we're making about the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's a decision that must be made. And it must be made by every one of us personally. Nobody else can make this choice for you. You must make it yourself. What am I going to do about the message of the Bible? About God's Son, the Lord Jesus? About my sin? About my future destiny? I need to decide all of those things. And it has often been said that we don't land in heaven by chance, but by choice. And each of us makes that choice. Many years ago, when I was visiting somebody in the Nine Wells Hospital in Dundee, as I walked along those wide corridors, there was a mirror that was hanging from ceiling to floor. And you stood in front of the mirror, and this is what it said. This is the person responsible for your health. And it was you, because you were standing in front of the mirror. And what it was saying was that you were responsible for your health. Listen, when it comes to our eternal destiny and being right with God and having our sins forgiven and being ready for heaven, it's you. Stand in front of the mirror. You, this is the person responsible for your eternal destiny. Well, we read from the Old Testament about a man called Joshua. He's an old man. He's about 110 years old, in fact, at the time of this chapter. He'll shortly die. And he's standing before all the leaders of this nation. And he presents them with a solemn choice. And he's really saying to them, look, it's time to stop messing about. It's time to stop humming and hawing. It's time, you can't sit on the fence any longer, he's saying. You'll have to put your hypocrisy and your play acting to the side. And you've got to make a serious decision. Choose ye this day whom you will serve. And the people stood before each other. They stood before Joshua. But most importantly, they stood before the Lord. And they made their decision that day. Their decision was registered in heaven. And we read how that a great big stone was set up as a testimony, so that they would never forget the decision that they had made that day. Now notice in these words of Joshua, they had to choose. Choose. Notice they had to choose personally. Choose ye. Notice that they had to make that personal choice that day. Choose you this day. And notice that the matter and business of the choice was defined. Choose you this day whom you will serve. And it's so clear and it's so specific. And that choice had to be made. And so that was presented by this elderly man, Joshua, to the people. It was a solemn choice. It would affect the nation. It would affect the life of the families, of the children, of the homes, and everything about them. But they made the right choice. And they decided to serve. And Joshua said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." I wonder if you've thought about these things this afternoon. Your choice, your future, the time to decide. Well, we then read about not an old man, but we read in the New Testament about a young man. This man is not 110. This man is in his early 30s. And he's on a journey, and he's at the city of Jericho. And this young man is also shortly going to die. And this young man is distinguished, he's distinct, he's elegant, he's handsome, he's majestic, there's something different about him. And yet he's poor and he's homeless. And he's been visiting the city of Jericho, to the east of Jerusalem, about 14 miles to the east of Jerusalem. He's had a meeting, as we mentioned in the reading, with this tax collector called Zacchaeus. And now he's going to tell a story. And he said, this young man tells this story. He says, there was a nobleman. And there's his citizens and his servants. And he called his 10 servants and he gave them 10 pounds. But this is what it says in the story. It says that they hated him. And it says that they made this decision. They made a decision, and this was their decision. We will not have this man to reign over us. And when the nobleman comes back from his journey, says the storyteller, he dealt with these rebellious servants, with those who hadn't worked for him and those who hadn't wanted him to rule over them. And he says, bring here those enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them and slay them before me. You see, the young man who is telling this story, and I'm speaking reverently here, it's the Lord Jesus. It's God's Son. And he's telling the people this day this story about this nobleman. And you see, the nobleman in the story is a picture of the Lord Jesus himself. He is the nobleman. And these people in the story who said, we will not have this man to reign over us, are the crowd gathered around that day. And this was the decision that they had made about God's Son, the Lord Jesus. We will not have this man to reign over us. And Jesus here is revealing to us that he knew their thoughts. He knew their minds. He knew what they were thinking. He knew the decision that they had made. We'll not have this man to reign over us. And you know something? As we sit in this room this afternoon, the Lord Jesus knows our hearts. And he knows what we're thinking. And he knows our attitude towards him, whether we're saying yes, I'll trust the Lord Jesus. I'll commit my life to him. I'll accept him as my Savior and my Lord. Or are we saying, I'm not interested? How much longer is he going to be speaking for? And we'll get our tea. He knows everything about our thoughts. And how hurtful was that for the Lord Jesus? The Bible says about him that he came unto his own, and his own received him not. And the stories that he told were unique. They were powerful. They're timeless. They're so meaningful. And they're so relevant to us today. As he spoke about the prodigal son. And as he spoke about the two builders. And as he spoke about the Good Samaritan, and all these parables and stories with meanings were so precious and so wonderful. And here he is in this story, the nobleman. And the citizens rejecting the nobleman, representing the people gathered around that day who had rejected the Lord Jesus. Well, in a few minutes, we'll get to our feet and we'll sing our closing hymn and we'll leave the room here and we will have made a decision about the Lord Jesus. And I wonder what that decision is going to be. And these people here who said, "We will not have this man to reign over us," just a short time later, they will be saying, "Away with him! Crucify him! Will not have this one, this man, to reign over us." Let's just think about one or two things before we finish. Who is this person? Who is this person that wants to come into our lives? It's God's Son. It's the Lord Jesus. He's a special person. He lived that lovely life of blessing and kindness. What has he done? Why should I commit my life to him? Well, he went to the cross. He laid down his life. His precious blood was shed. He paid the price so that our sins could be forgiven. Have you stopped to think about the cross? Have you ever tried to picture it in your mind's eye? The Lord Jesus there hanging in shame and in suffering. Nailed to a cruel, rugged tree. The awful, shameful, barbaric execution which the Romans had invented. And God's Son there impaled to that cross for you. And he's asking if we'll just make room for him in our hearts and our lives today. Who he is, what he has done, what does he offer? What's in his manifesto? You know, there's innumerable blessings that Christ offers to mankind. He offers to us pardon. Our guilt can be removed. There is forgiveness. There is cleansing. And he offers that to everyone who will but receive him and trust him as their Savior. He offers us not only pardon, but he offers us power. He offers us the ability to break free from the bondage of sin. The Bible says that those who commit sin are the slaves of sin. But if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And what a blessing is that. He offers us purity, that we might be clothed in righteousness, that we might be made acceptable before a holy God. And this is what the Lord Jesus offers. He offers us partnership or fellowship. He wants to share our lives. He wants to come in. The picture in the Bible is of the Lord Jesus knocking at a door. And it's our heart's door. And he's saying, if any man will open the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. The joy of fellowship with Christ. He offers us a purpose, a reason for living. The Apostle Paul said, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." And he offers us prospects, a home in heaven. He said to the Lord Jesus before the Lord Jesus said to his disciples, and before he went to the cross, and thinking about his return back to his Father in heaven, he said, "Look, I'm going to prepare a place for you. A place for you." How amazing is that? A place reserved in heaven for everyone who trusts the Saviour and who receives him. And so the challenge is there for us this afternoon. A choice to be made. Your choice. Your future. And it's time to decide. And so we pray, as we think about these important issues this afternoon, we'll think about the wonderful person of the Lord Jesus, his love, his death, and the blessings that he will bring to all those who will trust in him. And so I say, in the words of Joshua, choose you this day whom you will serve. And don't be like these servants who said to the nobleman, we will not have this man to reign over us, but to decide to trust the Lord Jesus and receive him as your Savior and Lord. May the Lord bless his word. Let's just close in prayer.